Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
Yes. Definitely. This game gets really fucking weird. Yeah, so you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is...
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just... would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
One. Who's going to start it this time? Is it me or you?
Well, you started talking, so I guess it's you.
Oh, shit.
Welcome back, everyone. We are Soul of a Gamer. I'm Scott.
Yes. And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game. We tell you about the game, what we thought at least, and tell you a little history of the making of the game.
And then you go fucking play the game.
And then, yeah, I mean, you could. Or if you follow our review and we give it a bad one, then don't play the fucking game, I guess.
Yeah. Play the game if it's a good game.
Yeah. Yeah. And we hope you enjoyed the last week's episode.
Oh, my God. It's going to be Metal Gear Rising?
Yes. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Yes.
That was a fun one that had some cool stuff with it. You guys should check it out. I actually had a lot of fun playing that game. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very unique.
Yep. And if you didn't listen to that episode, you know, stop this episode and go back one fucking episode and listen to that fucking episode. You're an asshole. Yeah. Stop skipping shit.
Unless you were really excited for this game for some reason, then we don't blame you because I do that shit too.
Yeah,
I
guess.
I always go back and listen to the other ones.
Yeah, I always I listen to things in order because if you say something in the last one that has to do with
that's
this one,
true.
Then I feel lost. And then I go back and I'm like, oh, that's what he meant. I really wish I would have listened to this one fucking first.
That's always fair. That's fair.
But yeah, why don't we just get right into this? We start with what we're playing this week.
Yeah. So this week I actually 100%ed got every achievement in Elden Ring.
Nice.
And then I also had started a little bit of Code Vein, which is another, it's like an anime Souls-like. And I also started, This Bed We Made, which is a movie where, or a game where you play as a maid in a hotel and things start happening that's a little weird.
So like a horror game?
To it. I don't think it's a horror game, but like it starts out with like this police interrogating you about what the events of today, and then you go through all the events, and then like there was a loud bang noise when you were upstairs cleaning your room, and then another time you're I went into this one person's room to return an item to him. And he's got a dark room set up in the bathroom with pictures of me snooping through people's shit.
It's weird.
And so I'm like, that's weird. So I'm like talking to the other hostel staff, like, what should I do? And they're like, you should keep snooping and figure out what the fuck he's watching you for, or if he's watching other people.
Or, you know, maybe call the police. So
that's what my character said initially, but they're like, but they have photos of you snooping. So maybe you shouldn't go to the police because you don't even know what they're.
But you're snooping on a stalker.
I know. That's what I thought.
I'm
I
was like, wait a second. Well, this week I was playing Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. I'm still playing it. I got through the first half of the game. So it's a two-part game, basically, where you beat the game as the first character, and then you go replay the entire game as the second character.
Okay.
So I 100%ed the hardest difficulty with the first character. I got to level 99, which is the highest level. I collected all the cards. I collected all the things in there. I almost opened all the rooms. I'm getting there. But I have a save file for that to go back and do all the rooms later. I'm just confused on which ones I need to open still and which ones I don't, because they're not super clear about that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I've known nothing about that, so.
It's a great game, honestly. It's a lot more fun than I remember it being, but the second character is so much worse.
Are these like direct ties or are they kind of like spinoffs of the
direct ties? Like, so this is the weirdest thing in the world, because normally it would be a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually the in-between 1 and 2 game.
Oh, okay.
And you need to know this, because at the beginning of 2, you'll be very confused to why you're in a stasis pod.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really fucking dumb, actually. I hate that it's not a spinoff game. It should be a fucking spinoff game. Whatever.
Interesting. I know everyone talks about how confusing the storyline of those games are.
Yeah.
It's convoluted as shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of history in them. You have no idea what this character is doing there and why they're even alive. You don't know what you're doing half the time. You don't know why there's a mouse following you around. It gets really weird.
But there's Disney characters, and they're fighting.
There are Disney characters.
And there's also Final Fantasy characters.
Yes, so. There are Final Fantasy characters as well. It is a fun game. It's just confusing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even combining those two worlds together, I was like, who thought of that?
I'm kind of curious, too. Maybe one day we'll play it, and we'll, like, jump into it. But until then, I'm not going to care about it.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Well, that's all I'm playing this week.
Same here.
All right. Let's just jump right into the story, then.
Alrighty.
All right, to start, we're going to give you a little synopsis of the game. The story of Pokemon Colosseum follows the main character, Wes, a former member of Team Snag'em, as he tries to catch Pokemon that have had their hearts artificially closed by the crime organization Team Cypher. He partners with a young woman named Rui, who can see the auras of Pokemon and knows which ones have had their hearts closed. The two will need to defeat Team Cypher in order for the Pokemon world to be safe once again.
Bum, bum.
Mm-hmm. The making of Pokemon Colosseum starts with the Nintendo Corporation creating a studio, Genius Sonority, in order for them to create additional Pokemon games that were ported for home consoles. And I just want you to know, they created this studio specifically to create console Pokemon games.
Okay.
Like, they created an entire studio just to make console Pokemon games.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
It is.
They had a lot of, like, faith and ambition going towards, like, moving just off of the Game Boy and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it was weird. It's just strange. The whole thing to me is strange that you wouldn't just have the Pokemon studio do it, right? I feel like would be the smart ones to do it, because they know them the best, but for some reason they create a new studio, hire all new people.
Oh, was it all new people that didn't, like, bring
no,
people
no,
over
none
from
of them.
The other company?
You're actually going to be surprised Jesus. Where they all come from, which is really funny. So,
okay.
it's just weird. What a weird thing for fucking Nintendo to do. But they're Nintendo, yeah. You know? They're dumbasses, so. This starts with... Okay, sorry. In order for the create additional Pokemon games that were ported for home consoles, this starts with hiring director Manabu Yamada. Yamada had great success working for Sony and producing several Dragon Quest games. He had a ton of experience with RPG games and decided to bring a lot of his team from the previous studio in order to work on the new game. Some of the things the team wanted to make was a Pokemon game for an older audience. They said that people had started playing Pokemon when it was released in 1996, were likely 17 now, and would want a game that could better relate to. For this part, the team decided to focus on more darker tones. No one on the team had actually played a Pokemon game previously, so it was a big learning curve to figure out how the world of Pokemon works. Literally, no one on the team knew how their fucking RPG worked.
I'm so tired of hearing this with movies and video games. If you are coming into an established franchise and you're taking over any sort of project, you need to be well-versed in that. You need to be like fucking Henry Cavill levels of... into a franchise before jumping into the Witcher franchise.
Yeah.
Someone who's read all the books, played all the games, loves everything about it. Like,
yeah.
You need someone like that.
It
like,
was amazing reading that, because they're just like so casual about it. They're like, we don't give a fuck about Pokemon, and they just hired us idiots. It's just really funny.
I mean, you play the game and you're like, okay, this more stuff makes sense now.
Yeah. And Well, and it makes sense more as you get into more of the learning behind how the game was made, because honestly, they did not make this game with the intention of making it like any kind of Pokemon game.
That's crazy.
Yeah. In creating the game to stick with the dark tones, they wanted the setting of the game to reflect a barren wasteland. They actually used the city of Phoenix, Arizona as an inspiration in creating the world of Ore, the land that the game is based in. You can see the mittens in the background of most of the travel sequence of the game. This is a large rock formation in Arizona. One city in the game, Fennec City. Phoenix. Shares a similar backstory to Phoenix as well. The story being that the founder of both cities built canals to bring water to the cities in order for the people to want to move there. There are many dusty towns and oasis-like areas in the game as well that take inspiration from the Old West feel of Arizona. In creating the setting of the game, lead designer Shinichi Hiramoto said he would only partake in creating the game if he could bring darker elements to Pokemon, saying it would be cute Pokemon in a decaying world. Which...
Yes, with Wild West shoots out.
I mean, I actually kind of liked it. Like, it was a cool fucking landscape for the game, which they really jumped into that deserty feel. Yeah, because they really hadn't done that. They had experimented with desert areas, but, like, all Pokemon is very lush and green, and there's not a lot of... They didn't even bring big cities in until well later in the games.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, weird, too, because, like, this one, like... The in-between all the cities is so barren, and you have that, like, land speeder that almost feels like Mad Max meets Star Wars.
Yep. Yeah, and it is really cool. Like, they did a really good job with the background art for the game. Like, I did enjoy it, and I love how they based it off of somewhere there in the United States instead of somewhere in Japan, because a lot of what Japanese do is they base all their shit off of things in Japan. It's such a microcosm of what the world really looks like, you know?
I mean, it's just, like, a lot of... things are set in, like, TV shows and movies are set in, like, New York or California
but they go out of that too. They base it in their own little cities, and they make up shit, and they do stuff in Japan, they do stuff in Spain. Like, here I think it's more open for other experiences because it's so big.
Yeah,
whereas Japan's a very tiny place, so, like, once you see it, you're like, oh, this is what the world looks like now, I guess.
That's fair.
So he also created the idea of the shadow Pokemon in the game. He said as well that he had to balance his respect for the Pokemon brand with his desire to destroy it, which I thought was really funny.
That's fun, yeah.
Yeah. He also based much of the work done on the game on manga rather than the previous games of the animation of Pokemon.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if you look, you've played it, you know, a lot of the characters are based on manga characters, right?
Yeah,
you can see the inspiration in some of the bad guys in the game. They look very over the fucking top bad guy.
Yeah,
except for the last bad guy, who does not look very over the top bad guy, but he does at the end, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna say he looks very Eggman.
Yeah, yeah. When creating the main character, the team purposely made the clothing of the character dark and brooding to reflect the nature of the people who would most likely be playing the game. Which I don't. When I was 17, I wasn't wearing shit like that, but that's what they said.
Yeah.
Some concept art exists from the early development of the game, showing a town that looks similar to Pyrite Town and an area in the game. The original concept art showed a no bridge to access the Colosseum, and instead has players go through a dark cave on one side of the chasm to get to the other side. The Colosseum was a little different as well, showing that it was more like a giant figured globe instead. The team also made Colosseum more difficult compared to previous Pokemon games because they wanted to reflect the age that they thought people would be playing the game.
That they did.
Yeah. Instead of a single battles in previous Pokemon games, Colosseum featured all double battles. Double battles were featured in the previous game, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, but were used sparingly as well as not planned to be used as a good team balance, instead being used as a throw any two Pokemon together and you will probably still win. The team also chose Pokemon mostly from the second generation. This is big. This is seen as being done on purpose since the second generation of Pokemon are notoriously weaker than other generations.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
They did that on purpose because they are actually the weakest generation of Pokemon. There was no evidence that Gina Sonority did this on purpose, but there is. It's strong. Like, everyone online says that it's like, but it's strongly believed by several people who had researched the making of the game. Like, everyone online says they fucking knew. They fucking knew. When they put that ferret in the fucking game, they fucking knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gameplay of the game reflects more of traditional RPGs, where a glass cannon mentality is not to be as successful as it might be in the other Pokemon titles. Mm-hmm. The composer for the game was Tsukasa Tawada. Talking about the music for the game, he said he did not let the setting of Arizona inspire all the music he wrote, but definitely used it as an inspiration for the harmonica music. He made the harmonica solo as a dry air feeling. Tawada did do a live performance of the music from the game on YouTube. The game was released in Japan on November 21st, 2003, in North America on March 22nd, 2004, and in Europe on May 14th, 2004. It was the best-selling RPG on the GameCube. The game was also...
Not a lot of stuff on...
No, they, well, GameCube, not a lot of stuff, like. But there were a good amount of RPGs, so I am surprised.
That's fair.
The game was also the best-selling...
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Selling game on Amazon because of the pre-orders of the game.
Interesting.
It was the best-selling game of all time at that moment on Amazon.
That's crazy.
Yep. Many reviews of the game universally loved the opening cutscene, saying it sets a new tone for Pokemon games. A few reviews of course tried to be over the top or punny. One reviewer decided that they were a bit more intelligent than the rest of the gaming world, using words and language in a very unappealing way, starting with describing the game as saccharine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I said the same thing. He also said that he thought it was hilarious that Pokemon were having their hearts closed, but failed to say why he thought it was so funny.
Oh my god, those Pokemon can't feel anymore.
What it almost seems like to me, by him saying it's hilarious, he's saying, like, if you don't know why, then you're just not smart enough to get it, you know? Like, that's what
it felt like.
Stupid. Reading that review, I was like, go fuck yourself, dude. You're a fucking dickhole. I don't remember who wrote it, but I wasn't going to name him in here anyway.
That's fair.
The review went on to say that you would be battling in gyms, which gyms are not actually in the game at all.
Yeah.
He then went on to mock the fact that the game has no actual dialogue. All Pokemon games have always been speech by text.
Yes.
Just... He then went on to say the music was okay, but not great.
Okay.
So this guy, like, literally, he didn't even play the fucking game. He said there's gyms
it
in the games.
Sound like it, yeah.
He was mad that there was no dialogue in the game. He doesn't understand anything. It sounds like he's a fucking moron.
Or he's just never played another Pokemon game, and this is his first one, and just.
But he already said there was gyms in the game. It makes you feel like he didn't even play the game. Like, I think he read a review of one of the previous Pokemon games and said, "I'll just fucking review it by reading a previous review."
Or he played Stadium or something different.
Stadium doesn't have any gyms either, does it?
Oh, I don't know. I've never played Stadium.
I think Stadium 2 maybe had like a gym challenge, but there was no. I don't think there were actually like traditional gyms in Stadium.
I got initially Stadium and Coliseum confused. But.
Yeah, yeah. Another reviewer made the title of his article, not the Pokemon that you're used to, but you'll have a Pokeball playing it.
You'll have a Pokeball?
You know, like a ball.
Oh, well, a Pokeball.
I saw that title and I was like, you go fucking kill yourself, please, tomorrow.
Not that we don't need to get that drastic.
Well, I'm getting that drastic. That was fucked. I was like, "Are you kidding me with this fucking title? Go fuck yourself." I didn't even read the fucking review because I just read the title and said, "Enough said. Not going to read that fucking review." Truly showing that there is no class in reviewing games.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the whole story.
Anything. All right.
This game doesn't have a lot. Genius Sonority, I tried to reach out to them to see if I could get any information from them on how they made the game, and they didn't get back to me. They are a Japanese company. I did send an English message, so they might not speak English, honestly. I don't know. I don't know who checks their emails either. If they see that, they might be like, fucking spam.
That's fair.
So.
Or we're not big enough for them to reach out yet.
Maybe. All right, well, let's just move on.
Yeah, so let's get right into the best and the worst.
I like the best and the worst.
I do too. So this is, I think, going to be a little different because there's parts I love about this and parts that I really don't like about this.
Yeah.
I'll start, I guess, with one of the positives. I do really like the dual battle system. I've always liked multi-Pokemon battles, especially like in Pokemon X and Y, where you can do a lot of like triple battles and stuff when you're battling people. So I think the more Pokemon you can have, I think there's a lot more intrigue and stuff to that. I did appreciate the darker tone of the game and a little bit of the difficulty, but there was times where I was just getting annoyed with the difficulty because it just made every battle last so much longer and made me go back to heal a lot more. And there wasn't enough money in the game to get me enough items to like keep out for long periods of time, so I just had to go back to the PC to heal so much.
I agree. You know, this game was weird because I felt like reading the story behind it really opened up a lot of why the game was so difficult. I did go in with the mentality of this person with the strongest attacks are going to be in my front two people. And then, and then after reading a little bit, I was like, okay, I can't do, I got to start balancing my team a little better and using the help options and everything. Cause this is a classic RPG. This isn't just throw your strongest people in and hopefully they don't die before they can get a hit off. You know, this is literally, you need to be playing this game smart. You can't be playing stupid.
This for me, I almost wish this went further away from Pokemon's battle system because of how different they were trying to be with it. Almost like a Metal Gear Rising to Metal Gear, how different those games were, just completely different. Like, I think trying to keep this same thing in the same realm, especially with really shitty underpowered Pokemon, because that's the other thing I say is the worst part of this game. The amount and variety of Pokemon is way too minimal and very, very limiting. There's not very many. I think there's 61 Pokemon total in the game.
Yep. And again, I think
that's so limiting.
In the end, I think they did that on purpose because they were trying to pick literally what fucking the weakest Pokemon they could find are. They obviously chose some that were really good, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot with the legendaries because, guys, like, you might not know this, this game actually was a bridge for a lot of people to get Pokemon you could not get in Ruby and Sapphire.
True.
So until, because remember, this game came out post Ruby and Sapphire. Fire Red, Leaf Green hadn't even come out yet. Emerald hadn't come out yet. There was no way to get any of the Johto Pokemon. And then,
oh, I guess that's fair.
And they were planning on releasing Leaf Green and Fire Red, so they didn't bother with any of the Kanto Pokemon because they knew they were all going to become available soon. So instead, you have like, you have Raikou, you have
Suicune,
Entei, you have Ho-Oh you can actually catch later on. Mm-hmm. You have
Celebi, Jirachi.
You have just Jirachi.
Metagross.
Celebi you can catch, but only in the Japanese version.
Or if you like had a certain like code or something from a console or like
the, so no, the only
there
way,
was something I saw.
There yeah, you're right, but it's only in the Japanese version. To catch Celebi, you have to be able to use the, it's like a different mode in there. I can't remember exactly. It's like a battle mode.
There's a bonus disc that you could do.
That's how you get Jirachi.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you get Jirachi.
Yeah, that's how you get Jirachi. In Japan, you could get Celebi as well, but for some reason, they didn't port that over, and I'm not entirely sure why. It's kind of confusing why they wouldn't let you get it in both, but whatever. You get a bonus disc, you can catch Jirachi. I mean, all the Pokemon, even though they're shitty, they're Pokemon you couldn't find before.
That's fair.
You know, and that's cool and all, but they are fucking complete garbage. Oh my god. The ones they chose. Every time I'm like, please let it be that one. Please let it be that one. That's a dark Pokemon, right? And it's like, nope, it's the Murkrow. And you're like, no.
Oh, you want another Foret? Yeah. You want a Kakuine or whatever the fucking cactus bullshit
Cacturn?
Pokemon? Or yeah,
there's
so
was
many
Cacturn
of these.
One of them? Because that's a good fucking Pokemon.
I don't think so.
Cacnea?
I don't think it actually was.
The one I'm, I know that they did Murkrow. I know they did Miltank. I know they did they did the three starters so that you could catch a Bayleaf, a Quilava, and a what's the.
But I didn't even see them at all in the entire game.
What do you mean?
I didn't see the starters at all. I never saw Quilava. I never saw Bayleaf. I never saw...
Oh, you catch them in Fennec City. Oh, you catch one of them. You can only catch one. And then the other two you can get at the end of the game in their final stage.
Do you have to catch them from... Oh, I mean, you have to catch it as a shadow.
Yeah, Pokemon. Yeah, it's a shadow so Pokemon.
Maybe just didn't talk to that trainer.
Yeah, you probably just didn't talk to the trainer and tried to leave instead. They were blocking each exit in Fennec City.
Oh, okay.
So you could have found one of the starters, any one of the three you wanted. My recommendation would have actually gone with Feraligatr. And the only reason I say that is because there are almost no water Pokemon in this fucking game. It's really obnoxious. There's
barely any fire either.
There's barely any fire, but you can catch the Entei pretty early on.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
But I mean, like, yeah. Well, and it sucks too because a lot of like the later trainers and stuff use a lot of like water electric types.
Yep.
So it's just bullshit.
There's no real ground types. They did really not do a good job.
Yeah, like, and Sudowood is probably your best wood or ground type.
And he,
like,
he's
shit.
Not a ground type. He's a rock type, right?
Or yeah, rock type.
He, and
yeah.
He might learn a ground move. But like at the end, everyone has a fucking ground type, which is really annoying. Mm-hmm. Everyone yeah. used Earthquake, but you know, that was the cool part too, is they show like, well, we're using Earthquake with this guy and this guy flies or levitates so he doesn't get affected, but your two fuckers do.
Yep.
So
yep, I hated that shit.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean that it just makes sense. Or they had moves like Protect where they knew they were going to use Earthquake this round and they'll Protect. That was one of the best parts of the game is learning the strategy of how to double battle, really. And one of the worst parts is that they put such shitty fucking Pokemon in that you didn't want to use the double battle system.
And not only the shitty Pokemon, but the shitty moves. Like,
yeah, true.
You're so limited on your move sets.
Yep.
Like,
you can buy some good ones.
They take forever to grind for to buy the moves.
Yeah,
though.
True.
And
I had,
you can find certain moves.
I had to get up to level 60 on the Battle Tower, and I still didn't have enough. And I had to redo level 60 twice in order to have enough to get Thunderbolt.
Exactly. So. That's just to get one move.
Yep.
So you have to do 80 battles to get one move.
Yep.
That's not worth it. That's
no, it's
not
really
worth
not.
It.
It's not, but it was still fun.
But like that's the thing, though. It's like I really felt like I just hated how limiting everything was.
Yeah.
Like, if it had like this game has an interesting concept, it has an interesting tone, and I think the difficulty wouldn't be as bad if it had more variety.
Yeah, true.
And if, you could actually take the Pokemon you wanted and
add 20 more Pokemon to it, and add them where they're more. I don't know. They're cooler. They're better.
Yeah,
you know, I would have loved in the sequel they let you get a an Eevee and you get to pick which evolution it is.
Yeah,
which I like that idea better than just starting with Espeon and Umbreon, only because then you're kind of limited with what you're getting. You're getting a Psychic and a Dark type, and a lot of people, you know, I read this in a lot of reviews. They put their Umbreon away, and Umbreon's like one of the best Pokemon for defense in the game.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't do great for offense. Like,
no,
your Espeon's all
your
offense.
Your point in him is to attract attention to him, use Helping Hand, use moves that power up the other Pokemon so they one-shot, and
that's not
Umbreon...
That's how I play Pokemon,
I
bitch.
Know, I know. That's a hard way to play Pokemon, honestly, but it is, like, Umbreon's probably the best Pokemon in there to take damage just because he's such a fucking tank.
It's really easy for me to like play games like Cassette Beast and not think of Pokemon and like develop whole new strategies. But when I'm playing a game
that is Pokemon, it's hard.
I want to play it like Pokemon, and it sucks. And that's why I said like if you were gonna deviate from it this far, you needed to deviate from it further.
Yeah, one step further.
And you need
I don't
to be
think
able
Nintendo
to snag every Pokemon, not just Shadow Pokemon. Like that.
Yeah,
was the
I kind of wish you could. That was what upset me about the game. I'm like, I'm part of a fucking team that steals goddamn Pokemon, let me steal more.
Yeah, and I'm the only one with the technology and the arm band to even be able to do it.
Yeah.
So just let me steal every Pokemon that I come into contact with to give me more variety. Like, there's not even that many Pokemon that you can catch in the game yourself.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that many Shadow Pokemon.
One thing about the game, too, they did lower, at least it seemed like they lowered the catch rate for Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
So, or yeah, sorry, I guess hire it. They probably, I think, hire
is
the right
word.
Yeah,
raise the catch.
Yeah, they made it easier to catch the Pokemon because I caught Entei in like one Ultra Ball and he had no status effect.
Same.
And then I caught Suicune in one, and I caught Raikou in two, and I was like, okay, well, this is really.
But they needed to for balancing because with the Shadow Pokemon hurting themselves every time they use an attack,
true.
It's hard to get them really low health and then them stay there because they'll kill themselves.
True, It's nice because you didn't feel like you were so pressured in order to get a Pokemon but mm-hmm. it's also kind of shitty because you, like, I don't know. It's like you're normally used to legendaries being hard to catch. But I guess in this case, they've already been caught, so they're not, like, wild exactly. Pokemon, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting way to do it where they change that specific thing in such a way that you could yeah. catch the Pokemon a little bit easier, and you, I had a better time with it because there's also no Master Ball in the game, we should say.
Well, I thought I got a Master Ball from somebody.
Did you?
I thought.
I don't remember getting a
I'm
Master
Ball.
I'm
pretty sure I got a Master Ball.
I don't remember if
I'll
I got one.
I'll look at my game again.
Yeah,
I'll let
check.
You know.
I might not have explored enough to get the Master Ball then.
Okay.
Or I got it and I didn't notice.
Yeah. I didn't care that I got it.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
I will say, at the end of the game, you can catch a fucking Tyranitar, which was fucking sweet.
Who cares?
That's the best one.
It's at the end of
the game. Yeah, yeah. Well, remember, Steven.
Into the first end.
Yeah, yeah. And there's two parts to this game, but that's not the important part. That Tyranitar gets transferred. We're looking at this at the time. This was so cool at the time to be able to catch a Tyranitar and transfer it to your Ruby and Sapphire game.
Yeah, but now we have Pokemon Go.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so much easier now. But back in the day, this was the shit, man. You did not get to catch a fucking Larvitar anywhere.
We're not back in the day, yeah. So I'm not considering that.
Well, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know.
We're supposed to be considering it from the point it came out. That was, like, the coolest thing in the world. But
that's fair.
Like, now it's like you play it and you're like, I don't give a fuck. Great, I fucking caught a Tyranitar and I don't care. But back in the day, that was like the cool. You're like, I can't wait to put this. I'm going to have no problem beating the Elite Four this time. Not with this sweet ass Tyranitar on my team. Like, it is super interesting that you were able to do that back in the day. And that's really cool. So that's like an upside and a downside, right? The downside is it's at all the way at the end of the fucking game. And if you play it today, you don't give a shit. I didn't even try to catch it. I'm going to be honest.
Like, but I mean, it's not like a game that has a new game plus, so like playing through it again with Tyranitar from the beginning or something.
That would
like
have been cool.
It's a game. Like, if there was extra reasons to have him, like having him only for the last couple hours of the game isn't much.
Yeah.
Like, motivation for me.
Another shitty part of this game, guys, by the way, is you're followed by this girl named Rui.
Oh, God.
You can name her whatever you want. And Wes, again, that's the base name for them, but it's like any other Pokemon. You choose their names if you want to. But she is like in the way all the fucking time.
Yes.
And she doesn't do
especially
anything.
Especially in certain areas that are like really small little hallways.
Yeah.
Like there is one, you get off the subway train and it's like the tiniest little hallway and she was blocking me and I couldn't talk to the guy I needed to talk to and I had to like find a way to like get my hitbox just perfectly around her to get around the outside of her.
This is
like,
something
this
that
is
a
so
lot
dumb.
Of games don't understand they need to do. Like, have a walkthrough motion with the people who are following you.
Yes.
Like, you,
yes.
It's not
a
big
deal.
Walk
through you and disappear behind
like,
you.
I get it. It's kind of weird that you can do that to this one character, but I would much prefer that over them being in the fucking way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There shouldn't be any collision between you and whoever's following you ever.
Ever. It should always be they're not in the way.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm going to say that I hate, and I hate this with a lot of games, is I hate when games can't get to an ending. Oh, and I hate when they have an ending and they get to the roll credits, but then there's more to do after. Like, you hear about Team Snag'em at the very first part of the game, and then you don't hear anything about them until the very end of the game, and then you beat the game, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now go fight Team Snag'em. And you're like, after the credits roll, you want me to do this whole other segment of the game? Like,
so
that's
what's nice about that, and again, back in the day, this was just to catch those extra Pokemon.
So but there's no point. You already beat the game.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it's why not put this before the ending of the game?
I guess
and
that's
not
true.
Even roll the credits, because like that would have been really interesting to like run into the leader of Team Snag'em and then have to like get sidetracked and go after him first. Go after Team Snag'em, get all the shadow Pokemon, and then go after the main guy.
Do you not feel that would have been a bit clunky? I feel like that would have been really clunky.
It's already clunky.
It is clunky, but that would have made it super duper clunky. Like, I don't know. I'm okay with the way they did it only because I feel like that was just for post-game shit. You didn't need that for the story. It's just to do post-game stuff. There's no real story behind it besides I think I read you find someone
imitating
you.
So then why even bring
up
Team Snag'em in at all?
You need the Snag device. There has to be a way to get it.
Cypher had it. Like,
no.
Or Cypher will. How dare Cypher you? Wanted it.
How dare you?
So, like, just have it be from Cypher's lab. Like, why does it have to be a Team Snag'em lab that
it's
has
even
it?
It's even funnier because Cypher created Team Snag'em.
I know. And it's like, that's why I'm saying this is all so stupid. This whole Team Snaggle shit is dumb as fuck.
We created a team to develop this technology even though we could have easily funded it ourselves.
We funded the company that funded the technology for this, and then we tried to steal it from them, but somebody else stole it before we got to it. But we're the real bad guys. Yeah. But after you beat us, you're going to still have to go after them for some reason.
Just to catch Pokemon, though. Guys, it really is not that it's big dumb. Of a deal. It's just to catch it's the dumb, Pokemon. Though. Like, at the time, it's just like, give them, like, extra fucking Pokemon so they can transfer over their shit, I think.
Like, I get that. And I know this was kind of before DLCs and stuff, but I get if it was, like, a DLC thing. And it almost feels like it was like that.
I think you could have downloaded DLCs back in 2005
maybe. I don't remember.
2004? I think that's when this game came out.
I know you could on, like, Xbox and a couple of things, like, like disc DLCs and stuff, but I didn't remember, know if GameCube did.
I think GameCube had the ability to connect to the internet, I'm pretty sure. They had, like, a thing underneath.
I can't remember.
So they should have been able to. I mean, I don't know why the fuck they wouldn't, but.
But yeah, that's the other, like, last take on that, as I just really just did not like that.
Yeah, and I hated the fucking last bad guy. Guys, I won't spoil who the last bad guy is for you, but it is just so fucking dumb.
Eggman.
It's just such a dumb fucking turnaround where they're like, when you thought this big anime character was the bad guy, he wasn't. And then my favorite part is at the end, the bad guy tries to get away in a helicopter. And everyone starts screaming, he's going to get away, as he's surrounded by all the cops and the good guys and the Pokemon.
And all the Pokemon.
Yeah, and like, he's
and
surrounded.
The way the fuck
way
like
the fuck
there.
Over there. There's no way that he doesn't have a fucking jetpack on. He can't get to it. Like, the best, the helicopter can hover to him, and then if someone could just grab him and say, no, you're not fucking going anywhere. But they're like, he's getting away.
Like, it's so stupid.
It is so dumb. That was one of the dumbest parts, and that and the fact, I don't know if you noticed in the background of that final Colosseum, the people and how, like, unanimated they were.
No.
They looked so bad. Oh, my God.
I
wasn't
paying attention. I was so, like, not trying to pay attention to this game at that point. I was so done with it. I was 26 hours in, and I was like,
it's a rough
game,
guys.
Still going on.
But at the end, you're in this giant coliseum, and there's just like a crowd of spectators like they might do in other games, but they were so poorly animated, and it's so hard to look at them. And it's like, and the stadium is packed, guys. And then you'll look at it, and there's like 10 people in the stands. This is really
just a bunch
funny.
Of the pixels.
It's just the weirdest fucking thing in the world, but it was kind of funny.
That's fair. Do we want to talk about our first few hours then?
Hold on, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Was there anything else that I really liked or really hated? I liked some of the Pokemon choices, just not, you know, a lot of them. Clearly, we've talked about that, but
most of
them. You hated most?
I didn't like most of the choices.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a lot of really shitty Pokemon.
It'd be fucking knocked out. Who's going to fucking
use
a knockdown?
There was maybe 10 good Pokemon out of the 61.
Dude, I was so mad. The first water Pokemon you catch is a Remoraid. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? A Remoraid? Yeah. That's who I get to roll my whole water game with?
Or Manti.
Oh, yeah. Mantine. Yeah.
Mantine, yeah. I was like, ooh.
Oh, God, I hated it. But yeah, let's talk about the first few hours.
I think the first few hours, they're pretty intriguing. It's a very different start. Your character worked for the bad guys and stole from them. It's still confusing It's a little confusing on what to do at first, and the introduction of shadow Pokemon is really interesting, and snagging Pokemon is a unique concept as well. Therefore, it really did pique my interest a lot at the very beginning, but once I started getting into it, I started just losing interest the further and further I was going.
I will say, actually, this game's first 2 hours is really strong.
Yes.
They do a really good job of catching you with that opening cutscene, because it is fucking cool. That is such a cool cutscene. And then catching you with immediately bringing you to like a diner built out of an old locomotive engine.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then you find this girl tied up in a bag somehow and easily opens it up and stands up in the bag. Like, it is a. And the Pokemon battles that you fight in the beginning are actually not too bad.
No, they're very, not. And you're actually dominating, especially with Espeon. Espeon's fucking one-shotting people.
Yeah, Espeon's got one of the highest special attack ratings and speed ratings of all the EV evolutions, I think. And the entire first 2 hours feels great. And then you get past that point and you get to your first boss and you're like, Okay, well, this is a lot more than I bargained for. This is way harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Oh, I guess one thing I didn't say about the things that suck about this game, too, I'll mention here, is I hate that you just re-battle a ton of trainers and the bosses over and over again in this game. Instead of having, like, 8 leaders, they have 4 leaders you battle twice.
Yeah, and that was really annoying, too. And, I mean, this game really does a good job about putting in ways to grind, but the grind is so long because it is double battles. You don't get as much experience with one. They do alleviate this by throwing an experience share in there that you can equip to one so you get more. Yeah, well, no, that wasn't in second gen, second and third.
No, I know, but I think it was in some other game.
It was. So in the original, and then I think it came back later on, and then they just had that as a passive thing that happens.
Yeah, which it needs to. Like,
that's no, you wouldn't. That needs you to would happen. Not want it back then.
I mean, I want it in everything now. Is
and
what I'm saying.
Now, because the way they do it now is they take that experience and they give equal parts of 2,000, so 2,000 to each person, except the person who battled gets a little bit more. Back in the day, is they split up the total experience by 6 and gave each Pokemon that tiny, tiny bit of experience.
Yeah. No, I know.
If you got 200 experience, each Pokemon got like 30 experience.
I mean, yes, it's annoying, and I get it. But yeah, everything grinding in this game, like grinding money, grinding
was hard.
Levels, it was just awful. All the battles were way harder. They took way longer, so there's just bloated your game time so
much. I think there's
so
only
much.
One shop that sells Pokeballs.
Yes, there is, at the very beginning of the game.
Yep. And you go back, and even though they make it kind of sound like they're not going to have anything but some loose Pokeballs they found on the ground... Yes. You go back, and then they upgraded to Great Balls. Then you go back, and they upgraded to Ultra Balls. You're like, how did you find all these on the fucking ground, too?
Seriously, though. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It was interesting. Like, I will say that, but it's just kind of weird.
Yeah. And we don't have anything for the achievements or hunt for the Easter eggs. There's
they didn't really do a lot for that stuff,
for
unfortunately.
Eggs,
I feel like they get really lazy on some of these things because they were like an offshoot studio. Created specifically
kind of crazy,
to
like
make it. I don't know.
I mean, Pokemon in general, I don't think there's any like Easter eggs much besides Easter eggs to other Pokemon games or the movies or the shows or something, but there's never really actually any Easter eggs in any Pokemon game or any
really
a lot
not,
of Nintendo
they're not
games.
Cool about like giving homage to other fucking games or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't use anybody else's stuff. They don't share anybody else's stuff. They don't want anybody else using any of their stuff.
They'll gladly
share.
Steal something from another game, but they won't gladly represent that game in theirs.
Hey, if they didn't patent it, then they lost it.
I guess
Nintendo's eyes.
So
because that's why they patent everything.
One thing that is cool about this game for hidden shit, you could talk to a lot of the NPCs, and they say some funny shit. Like, this is probably, it's so funny. You'll go up to one and you're like, hey, good looking. What's that ugly redhead doing with you? Why don't you get with a real lady? And then one person was like, I'm trying to find out from this fortune teller where my bitch of an ex-wife is so I can get my money back. Like, it is.
I love Pokemon. I just really love Pokemon.
Like, it is really, really, really funny. I think they did really good with that, like the little things that people say, because normally they're like, do you love Jigglypuff? Because that's my favorite Pokemon. I'm like, okay, well, who gives a shit?
My favorite thing that somebody said, I think, was after I beat somebody going towards the hideout, towards the train to go to the secret lab, there was a girl that I beat on the staircase, and she goes, oh my god, you beat me so bad. I almost started crying. Are you trying to make me cry? And then you can say yes or no. And I said yes. And then she started crying.
Some of that I would count as like hidden shit, because you don't really get that unless you talk to the people.
But that shit's funny.
It is like funny. They did a good job with that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that kind of stuff in it. For
I would have loved, because they all worked on Dragon Quest games, to see some Dragon Quest hidden shit in there, you know?
Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
That's where you throw in that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess, so are we getting to our last
Let's jump right into this rating.
All right. So for me, I'm going to have to go with a 2. This game has a unique premise, and it falls short of standard Pokemon because of the limiting amount of Pokemon and their moves for me. The difficulty spike does just bloat the time quite a bit, and as much as it is intrigued at the beginning, I don't think it holds to the end, so I can't give it a good rating. I would give most Pokemon game a 3 rating and only like 2 Pokemon game a 4 rating, so yeah. That's why this one has to be a 2.
I mean, I would give this one a 2 as well. I might even give this one a 1, honestly. I loved this game when I was a kid. Honestly, it was a really fun game to play. It's got this cool setting. I did live in Arizona for 10 years, so like yeah. I knew it was based on Phoenix, and that was really cool, but the entirety of the game, it falls short in so many areas where you start this and you feel pretty good about it, and then within 5 minutes, it's already gone and you hate it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they don't really try hard enough to keep your interest peaked. Like, the one thing in here is they talk about this, like, ace Pokemon trainer who's almost like a... It almost seems like it could be Ash Ketchum. Or Red.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that story falls so short so quickly, even though it was really cool when they first mentioned it and you meet him and you're like, oh, he's got a level 50 fucking Pikachu. That's cool as shit. And then they're like, and then now we're not going to talk about it anymore. Like, yeah. Okay, I guess we don't get any fucking story about this guy's awesome adventures.
Cool, Pikachu's in the game and I can't have him.
Yep. Level 50 Pikachu.
Fuck you.
Yeah, and then
Just fuck you.
I love fighting Pokemon, and the one fighting Pokemon they put in is literally one of the worst ones in any fucking generation, yeah. Being Hitmontop. I'm like, yeah. You could have chosen any of the three, and the two others are fucking phenomenal, and you chose Hitmontop, you son of a bitch.
Did they also have, like, is his name like Mikonhei or Mikontu or something
that? Makahito. Makahito? Yeah. Yeah. He's okay, but he...
he's... probably better than Hitmontop.
He was, but it's just annoying because like Hitmontop is like a last evolution, and he started out as the first. You know what I mean?
Well, didn't Hitmontop only have a previous evolution in later games?
Yeah, Tyrogue is the previous evolution for all three, Hitmontop, Hitmonchan, and Hitmonlee, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, a second level evolution is much better than a first level evolution.
That's fair.
So if you're going to pick one to train, you're probably going to pick the one that's already second level evolution, especially in this kind of hard landscape game where it takes a long fucking time to grind experience.
That's fair.
Yeah, it was just a little annoying the way they picked their Pokemon, but yeah. I can't give this anything greater than a 1 or a 2, and I'm going pretty hard on 1, I think.
See, I was feeling bad about giving it a 2 because I remember you said you like really enjoyed this as a kid. So yeah. I was like, I don't want to like shit on his dreams.
Going back to it is you play it as a kid and you remember really fond memories. But I never beat it as a kid. I didn't go through the whole fucking game as a kid. I got halfway through and then stopped playing because I get bored.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a traditional Pokemon game where there's so much to do in it. And it's so exciting and you get catch so many Pokemon and train so much shit. And like... And that's where it falls
just
short.
The amount of freedom.
Yeah, the fact that there's not as much to do and not as much opportunities to have cool things that you want makes it a hard game to sell.
Yeah.
So
just the way they went about just structuring the game too.
Yeah.
If they paced that better, I think it would have been better too.
Yeah. So guys, I mean, this is a hit or miss for you. If you like these hardcore RPGs where you struggle a lot, but you're really good about like upping your XP and figuring out the best methods to win battles, this is perfect for you. But if you're a normal gamer who just likes very pleasant, non-hardcore RPGs that go through and you can affect your stats the way you want, this game will just drive you fucking bonkers.
Yeah. I'm still on the mind track of if you want to play Pokemon without playing Pokemon, play Cassette Beast.
Yeah, true. Or one of the 50 billion Pokemon clones that are honestly out there.
That's fair.
Yeah. Pal World is really fun, guys. Play some fucking Pal World.
I still haven't tried that
yet. Ah, you should. It's so much fun.
No, I know. I've got to at some point.
All right. Well, next week we are going to be playing Typing of the Dead Overkill.
Yes.
That is a classic arcade game that used to be in arcade bars and shit. That they turned into a desktop game.
Yep, and we are starting a October Spooky Fest game, so they're all horror, demon-oriented thrillers. So come join us for the spooky season.
For sure. Happy Halloween in 30-some-odd days.
Yes.
See you next time, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye!